Good morning. Welcome to this kind of cloudy Sunday, but it can be very bright and cheerful in here as we worship our Father and God. Each Sunday we gather to be strengthened in faith and to hear again the Lord's call to repentance and discipleship. So let us join our voices in songs of praise to glorify our God. And I do have a few announcements that I'd like to go over with you this morning. Reverend Chris is on vacation this week, be on vacation until June 21st. So if you do have a problem or an issue that comes up, you know, please, you can phone me. I'm chairperson of the elders. You can phone Bill Showman, board chairperson, and certainly you could call the office and leave a message there with Jackie. Do want to note that this morning we're going to have a speaker, David Premer, who's from Circles, Connellsville, and from the Community Ministries. Dave will be joining us in a little bit, but his wife, Sue Ann, is here. So welcome to Sue Ann. We thank you for joining us also. We will be having coffee hour after church today, so we're asking you to stay and enjoy some time together in fellowship. As always, please take a moment to fill out the ritual friendship cards in the back of the pews. And especially if there's something that needs to be taken care of in Reverend Chris's absence, it's fine to mark it there, but then you would need to let us know that so that someone could, you know, take care of that in his absence if there's something very urgent. On Monday, we will have the Fayette Youth Commission meeting here. And on Tuesday, the flyers in your bulletin about John Kostick will be doing his presentation about Joseph and his brothers. And I'm sure that's going to be a very enlightening evening for those who are able to attend. Also, Tuesday will be a work day from 9 to 12, and amazing things are happening here. Today we moved our class up to the Seekers Room, and I was, you know, very, very pleasantly surprised, but not really surprised because the guys do such a great job at the change in that room. And it didn't just magically happen. It happens because people roll up their sleeves and go there and clean and work and move things. So thank you to Jerry and to Arnold and all the men involved in that. We very much appreciate you. Today our junior youth group is to meet. Is that still going on? Do we know?
We hope.
Okay. Say a prayer for that one too. We hope that that'll happen today at 1 o'clock. And see Janice or Cheryl if you need a ride. Also, our Father's Day breakfast will be next Sunday. Seemed like it was just Mother's Day. How did the time go so quickly? But the gentleman treated us to a wonderful breakfast, and so the ladies like to do their turn in treating the gentlemen. But we're inviting everyone to please come to breakfast that morning, and the flyer gives all the information here. I believe that's all the information I have. Are there any other announcements? Okay, I was telling Wanda that for those of you who didn't get to come to hymn sing, it was a wonderful evening, and I thank Wanda for putting it together and for everyone who helped out, Ken and the choir. Everything was just beautiful. I really hope we can do those more often because it was wonderful. It was inspiring to just sit there and sing praises to our Lord, you know, not to take away from what we do here. Because what we do here is important, and what we do in Sunday school is important, but certainly singing praises is very important. So thank you, Wanda and choir, for what you did, and I look forward to the next one. Okay, if there's no other announcements, then at this time, the community comes together to serve God in worship. Our opening hymn is in the Brown Hymnal, number 363, To God Be the Glory.
To God be the glory.
As we begin our worship, we gather with assurance. We have the assurance of the love of God, the Father, that it will enfold us. We have assurance that the peace of God, the Son, will sustain us. And we have the assurance that the power of God, the Holy Spirit, will enrich us. Let us bow for the invocation, followed by the Lord's Prayer, please. We praise you, Lord God, for creating the world in all its beauty and fertility, for redeeming us from the guilt and power of evil, for sending your Holy Spirit to encourage, sustain, and comfort us. We pray that through our worship here today, the triune God will instruct and equip us for service in your world. For it is in your name we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Please be seated. At this time, the community comes together to share our tithes and offerings. Today's gospel lesson says that God so loved the world that he gave. Let us also express our love for God, for our world, and for our church by giving our material offerings. And it just occurred to me that we might have some visitors here this morning. You may not realize when I say the brown hymnal. If you look in the pew, there's red ones on the top, and then down below, the brown ones are on a little shelf down there. So when I say the brown hymnal, that's where it's located, because I do see we have some visitors today. So I hope that you will feel comfortable and understand what we're doing. And part of that is where the hymnal is located. So we will be using this brown hymnal for our next hymn, which is number 67, Blessed Assurance.
Thank you. We know that all true love seeks to express itself in some way. We present these gifts as an example of God's love expressed through us. Amen.
Please be seated. At this time, the community proclaims the word of God. The scripture I will be reading this morning comes from Psalm 33, and I'll be reading verses 4 to 6, verse 9, and verses 18 to 22. And I don't know the page in your pew Bible. I'm sorry. Pardon? 507. Thank you. Psalm 33 is about the greatness and goodness of God. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all of their hosts by the breath of his mouth. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. Truly, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. The word of the Lord. This time, the anthem by our sanctuary choir will be Lift Up Your Eyes.
Proverbs 29:18. Tells us where there is no vision, the people perish. A journalist once wrote, "The saddest thing in the world is a person who has given up on life, whose fire has been extinguished. Just remember, as long as you are alive, the animating spark of greatness is still within you and can be rekindled. And it's never too late. As long as there is life, there is hope." And our anthem this morning is a song of hope. Lift up your eyes to the rising of the sun. Soon comes the day when the races of earth will be run. We'll shed our chains of nameless fear. The morning's coming, and it's almost here.
Comes the day when the races of earth will be run.
Thank you, Choir and Wanda. It's always beautifully done, and no more so than today. Thank you. At this time, I've been asked to do the pastoral prayer, so you'll have to bear with me. So I'm a pastor's wife, but not a pastor, so you'll have to bear with me. But I would like to know the joys and concerns that we might have to share this morning. I have some concerns to share. First of all, it's a joy for me to be here and helping out, and Reverend Chris able to take his very much needed vacation. But some of you know, I missed last week because my son Adam had an attack of kidney stones, and if you've ever had those, I've only watched them, thank the Lord. He's in great pain. 3 times this week in the emergency room, and he's still in pain. So I'm asking for prayer that the stones will pass and that he will have relief from this. So I would ask for prayer for that. Joys or concerns that anyone would like to share this morning? Judy. And thank you for sharing that. Anyone else? Joys or concerns? Teresa. Yeah, this is the time of year when people are out and about, and it's always a joy, but obviously a concern for travel. So thank you, Teresa. Anyone else? Well, I think also a joy is that we're going to hear from the Circles program. I'm sure Pastor David will be here momentarily. But I know Donna and some others in the church, Sharon, I'm not sure, Wanda, who else? I'm missing names. I don't want to miss them. But I'm very excited. Bernie, are you involved with that? Okay. Donna, Sharon?
Patty?
Okay, great. So all these people have been such a gift to this program and many, many others. So I'm very anxious to hear about that. And I know that that's a joy that has been brought to the community and the families involved. So thank you for that. And thanks in advance to Pastor David. Let us go to God in prayer, please. Oh, Lord, how we seek to be faithful, and yet how we are easily distracted from your vision. We are so impatient with your promise of new life. We want it now, not tomorrow. We want it for ourselves, not just for our neighbors. We want the triumph of Easter without the tragedy of a Good Friday. We want the prize without running the race. We want given strength to our fading heart, Father, and we ask courage for our fading wills. We ask for faith to our shattered hopes. May we seek your way and not our own. May we discover your kingdom in self-sacrifice instead of building our kingdom through self-gratification. May we not seek happiness, but joy. May we not seek the detachment of pleasure, but the painful involvement in the suffering of others. May we not expect life to be fair, but may we strive for justice. May we trust you to take care of us while we pledge ourselves to caring for others. And it is in this caring, Father, that we bring the request mentioned here today. We thank you that Patsy is getting better. We ask for safe travel for those who are traveling. And we ask you, Father, to meet the unspoken needs that were not mentioned here this morning. For it is the faith that we seek to which we have been called and for which we have been born anew in that Spirit who keeps us faithful in you. And we pray, amen. Community shares worship with children. This morning, our junior sermon is canceled as far as being in the sanctuary, so the children will be excused to go to junior church with Janice this morning. Normally, for those who are visitors, we do have a children's message, but a lot of people on vacation, things, we're not able to accomplish that this morning. So the children could be excused to go to junior church with Janice, please. apologize. I'm sorry. We should have let you know. Thank you, though. Okay, at this time, the minister proclaims the Word of God. So at this time, I would like to introduce Pastor David Premer, who is again from Circles Connersville and from the Connersville Community Ministries.
Well, he couldn't be here, so I decided to come in for him. Did you guys see me sitting outside? I heard about it. What'd you hear? Now he's going to play on everybody's hearts and compassion. I think I'm the one that got played. I was offered water, I was offered food, and I was offered to come in out of the rain. So I was not pushed. Christ was not pushed onto me. Church was not pushed onto me. I just offered to come in, sit out of the rain. No threat, just love. What gives me the right to come in here dressed like this, sit out there and act like I'm all distressed and homeless and hurting and whatnot? What gives me the right to do that? And what gives me the right to do that to you? Well, in my real life, before Christ, the BC days, we've all talked about that, that's how I was. I have been homeless. I have been through the whole gambit. And God has taken me, one of the lowliest, and turned me around and moved me up. And here I am today, now a pastor for 7 years. So if God can do that with me, he can do that with anybody else. And I think that kind of gives me the right to play around with stuff like this. So, I mean, you got my notes. I want to open up with prayer. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing this time. Thank you for releasing the power of your Holy Spirit into our lives. Help us receive your words and help me as I deliver them. I ask and thank you for these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And today we're looking at James chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And this is what God inspired James to record. In verses 1 through 4, he starts, "My brethren, do not hold the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a man poor in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, 'You sit here in a good place,' and say to the poor man, 'You stand there or sit there at my footstool,' you have not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges of evil thoughts. So why would I dress and pose as a person who is homeless or down on his luck or grief-stricken? You know, maybe he lost the love of his life. Or maybe he lost his job and went on an all-night bender. How did you see him? Did you think about what he was thinking about? What thoughts ran through your mind? Did you talk to him with others? What conclusions did you come to? With the help of God and his Holy Spirit upon us, I'm going to give you a minute to think about this. So I stand before you as a live witness of the transforming power of Jesus Christ. I stand witness as the power of the Holy Spirit works in a person's life. And I stand witness that we serve a true and living God who's in charge of everything. Now that you and God have had some quiet time together, how do you feel? When the Holy Spirit convicts a person, he brings things to light within us. And if you feel that conviction, roll with it, because it's a good thing. The Holy Spirit not only convicts people of sin, but he also brings them to repentance. If you feel conviction, it's because the Holy Spirit has brought something out in light. Does anybody, and I wasn't going to call anybody out, but does anybody feel conviction from maybe what they thought of that person sitting out there to where that person, that very same person you saw, and in mind what you were thinking versus the same person you're seeing now preaching the Word of God? It was a pretty emotional experience for me. I thought I was going to... back there I was crying, I'll admit to that. And out there I'm thinking, I'm watching all the ants. And some of the ants, they're trying to get things done, are running around in circles. They're carrying their load, trying to take it back to the home, feed the family, right? And it would go in a circle, 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 and then it finally get back on its right path. The ants that were working together in a group, they just went on. There was no circling. They got a lot more done. So when we travel with God, when we work with God, we're going to get a lot more done than if we try to do things on our own. Now back to the scripture. In chapter 2, James presents three principles of faith. The first one being commitment is a vital part of faith. You can't be a Christian simply by supporting the right doctrines or agreeing with biblical facts. You must commit your mind and your heart to Christ. The second one is reactions. The right actions are the natural byproduct of a true faith. A genuine Christian will have a changed life. You can see what happened. I went from living in the streets, stealing my food, to here I am today. That's a changed life. Faith without good deeds doesn't do anybody any good. It's useless. If you have faith, the good deeds are a representation of that faith. When we compare the teachings of James and Paul, we see the way they compared salvation. They stand together on salvation. Paul stresses the purpose of faith is to bring salvation, while James stresses the results of faith are a changed life. James begins chapter 2 by confronting a problem within our community, and that's the respect of persons, also called partiality or discrimination. We've heard so much about that in the news anymore. And they say now it's hate talk. Inspired by God, James tells us in verse 1, "My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality." We're not to be partial. We're not to be discriminating. The examples he gives in verses 3 and 4 are a common one. He talks about people that are well-groomed, finely dressed, people that have an outward showing of respectability. And then how people want to get together with them for selfish reasons. You know, maybe because I'm seen by them that it's going to raise my status. You know, or maybe if I spend time with them, I'll be able to increase my own wealth. It's the human nature, the sinful side, the inherited sin that we got that causes these things to happen. Respect of a person at its root, all of us have it. Another personal example, we go to training for the circles program, and in there, one of the circle leaders comes in. A circle leader is someone who's resource limited. That would be the person that was sitting outside your church this morning. And she comes in, and she's just participating with the group. But as I got to know her over the course of the next 3 days, she was a very intelligent, brilliant woman. She just didn't have the articulation of her words. She wasn't refined in her speech and her mannerisms. But she was a genuine person. She had heart, she had compassion, and she was very intelligent. I judged her. And I did that wrongfully. When we do that, sometimes in our minds, we think, "You're not worthy of my time or favor. Take care of yourself over there, then just be out of the way." Such partiality actually turns the order of God upside down. We think if wealthy or powerful or good-looking or talented, then they don't need help. They provide their own success. But the poor and downtrodden are the ones who need the help. They're the ones who don't know how to care for themselves. So we need to give them a hand as they go from survival mode to success. Eventual success. It doesn't happen overnight. And it's a journey that's fraught with ups and downs. And it's a journey that needs encouragement. You know, they did a national survey on people like that person sitting outside the church this morning. And in that survey, they discovered that out of more than money and more than food, people wanted friendship. They wanted relationships. Human nature disobediently offers help and advantage to those who need it least and denies it to those who desperately seek it. James's central thrust in this long paragraph, we're talking about verses 1 through 13, it's that favoritism is wrongful judgment. In verse 4, have you not become judges with evil thoughts? His argument against partiality obviously stems from his half-brother's comments on judging in Matthew 7:1, we see God, or judge not that ye be not judged. There's where Jesus is talking about a person whose method of judgment. If we judge someone else, then God's going to eventually judge us the same way we judged other people. I don't know about you. I don't want to go to heaven and be judged for anything like that. And I am still a work in progress. So practicing partiality makes us judge, jury, and executioner of our fellow Christians. Sitting on the throne, being judged, that's the job that belongs to God, not to us. The distinction made between the rich and the poor man in this example, its heart is purely outward and selfish reasons. So the judgment was unsound, and that's why James calls it evil. As the apostle points out in verse 5, God more often calls the weak of the world to righteousness. So the poor man is just as likely, or perhaps even more likely, to be more changed of the two. This is not always the case, but it does make James's point that we need to be more thorough in our discernment of people. We need to see by faith how God sees them, rather than by sight how we see them. Our example of this is God himself. When the prophet Samuel went to Bethlehem to anoint the next king of Israel, he saw the handsome older sons of Jesse, thinking, surely it must be one of these. But God saw things differently. Here in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, he says, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The lowliest of the family was chosen. That was David. He was the youngest, he was the smallest, and he was even forgotten about. Being quite limited in spiritual perception, we have a hard time doing that. So our best course is to treat everyone with humility and kindness, expressing the love of God, love of Jesus, as they would do. So in closing, as a group, I'd like to ask you to pray with me. So if you will, repeat after me. God, I do not see as you see. Oh, you guys can do better than that. Let's try again. God, I do not see as you see.
Yes.
Please help me to see others as you see them. Help me to be like Jesus. Your Son, our Lord and Savior.
Your Son, our Lord and Savior.
And all God's people say, Amen. Amen. All right, I'd like to announce this Thursday we have a poverty experience, the COPE. Some of you, have you heard about it yet? It'll be here at the church. Has anybody heard about it? All news? New news? Okay. So it'll be Thursday at 6:30. You'll get a family packet. So you'll come in, you'll play the part of a family. This family is resource limited, okay? And you're going to study the family packet quickly, get into the roles of the family members, and then try to fulfill the family's obligations. There's some scenarios in there that you need to carry out. And there's some service stations out around. There's stores, groceries, gas stations, pharmacy, church. There's a homeless shelter. There's several different community organizations within the structure of this that you can go for help and assistance and try to make things work for your family. So you do your best to meet all of those goals. And at that time, I'd like to introduce you more into Circles and what Circles does and why Circles is in Connellsville. So this leads us to our benediction, and I'd like to... No, it doesn't.
No.
We go into communion. Yes, all right. You get your benediction later.
Thank you very much, Pastor David, and we look forward to those who could come on Thursday night. But I know I've been privileged to hear from Donna and Sharon, who are in my ladies' Bible study. We've kind of gotten to hear good, wonderful stories about things that are happening in Circles, and it's an exciting and wonderful program that we're doing. But more importantly, it's a service. And that's what God calls us to do. And it's providing a service to others who need, wherever we find them. So thank you, Pastor David, Sue Ann, and for everybody involved in the project, for all that you're doing for that. At this time, the community will come to the Lord's table. All believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of membership in this congregation, are invited to receive the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness. Please take the emblems as they are passed and partake as best suits your own personal meditation. Our communion hymn is in the brown hymnal, number 481, Fill My Cup. As I think all of you know here, my husband is a pastor, so I called upon him to help me with today's communion meditation, especially because this one has fit right in with what our Sunday school class has been studying, and it's about justice and righteousness and our attitude toward the things we have and the things we do not. And I thought it fit in nicely also with Pastor David this morning and Sue Ann, so thank you. So bear with me. Recently, Paul was going through some boxes that he's had in storage, and he came across one that was labeled Duke Divinity School. So he looked inside the books and notebooks stored there, and he thought about all that he had learned there and the wisdom that was taught to him. And he shared this with me. So as he continued reading and reminiscing, he realized that as a younger man, he may have found the prophets to be dry, dusty old men whose main message was, God's going to get you if you don't watch out, or you didn't watch out, so now God's going to get you. But Paul says that now, with older, wiser eyes, he has come to appreciate more the messages of the prophets and what their message really was to God's people. And that's not only God's people then, but God's people now. Paul says, for when the grain silos were empty, when wars were abroad, when children were sick, where men and women were dying, it was the prophets who called to the people of God and said to them, God does not hate you. Be strong and stay close to God, and you will be restored. And likewise, when the grain silos were full and peace was abroad, and children and people were happy and healthy, it was the prophets who rallied the people of God and said to them, do not be deceived. The good life you are living is not because you are rich or clever. This good life comes from God because he loves you. Stay close to God and you will be blessed. And for us today, the modern people of God, it is the voice of the prophets who continue to call down to us. God does not call you to be rich or famous or secure or untroubled. God calls you to be faithful. For whether it is in the warmth of summer or the cold darkness of winter, in times of joy or in sorrow, in good times or in bad times, God's call is forever and always this: stay close and be faithful. Now we'll have our prayer by Elder Judy Brown.
Let us pray. Eternal God, we're thankful for so many blessings in our lives, but most of all, we're thankful for your abiding presence. We remember the love that surrounds us as we take these emblems in memory of your Son, Jesus. May your Holy Spirit be within us and among us. Help us to be instruments of your love and dedicate ourselves more fully to serving you. Amen.
And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. At this time, the community responds to the word of God. Our call to discipleship is this. If you wish to accept Christ as your Savior, rededicate your life to God, or transfer your fellowship membership into this church, we invite you to come and sing. Our invitational hymn is in the brown hymnal. We'll be singing verses 1 and 4 of number 454, Take My Life and Let It Be.
That's 458.
You're right. Thank you. 458. Thank you. Again, we hope you all stay for coffee hour afterwards. Thank you.